Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Show you just two or three things, and I am not, as we go through this, there's no way that I'm going to go every line in this book. If I do, we'll be in this book for 497 weeks, okay? But I'm just going to pull some highlights out of it as we go through it. So lesson number one deals with the Bible as a whole, and just kind of gives an overview of the Word of God, and it talks about the central theme of the Word of God is Jesus Christ. And that is the central theme. Matter of fact, when I get done with the book of Genesis tonight, you're going to see him all throughout the book of Genesis. And that is the central theme of the Word of God. We know it's divided up into two different categories, the Old Testament and the New Testament. I'll just say this in passing. The Old Testament says he's coming. The New Testament says he's here and that he's coming back. Amen. He came, he died, he was buried, he resurrected, he ascended, and he'll soon come again. Everything that the Old Testament prophets prophesied of took place in the New Testament. Amen. And man, I'm telling you, it's amazing how it all goes hand in hand together. One thing that it's interesting, and you can study all of this, it's interesting the way that he breaks it down to the different sections of the Old Testament. And the last 12 books is what is known as the minor prophets of the Old Testament. A lot of times those minor prophets are skipped over, and you don't hear much out of those minor prophets. But I want to tell you something. All of the Bible is wonderful, amen? But there is some dynamite in those minor prophets. Matter of fact, a guy by the name of Layman Sharp wrote a book, a good fundamental independent Baptist preacher, Brother Layman Sharp. Matter of fact, his stuff on Psalms is the best that's ever been written besides the Bible. But he wrote a book on majoring on the minors. And man, I'm telling you, it has got some nuggets in it from the minor prophets of the Old Testament. Then he rolls over into the New Testament. He gives a summary of the New Testament. And it's interesting to see that how the way he breaks it down. And you've got the Pauline epistles and the different things that he deals with there. Now, here's what I want to pick up at tonight, and it's the first book of our Bible, is in Genesis tonight, and we're going to look at the book of Genesis as a whole tonight and what all's happening in the book of Genesis. If you found your place, Genesis chapter number 1. Genesis chapter number 1 is where we'll start at. And I intend to preach the entire book of Genesis in 30 minutes. Y'all ready? Genesis chapter number 1. The Bible said this, in the beginning, God. Now, I just want to time out right there and say this. If you don't believe that, you're not going to believe anything else. That's where it all starts at tonight. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis means origin, source, or birth. In the beginning, God. Genesis is the seed plot to all Scripture. It all starts. Whenever we think about Genesis tonight, Genesis tells us of the beginning of everything with the exception of God. The reason that Genesis does not record the beginning of God is because there is no beginning to God. In the beginning, God created. You say, well, where did God come from? God's always been. Well, how do you know God's always been? Because in the beginning, God. Are you with me tonight? And here's the thing we can do, and I've said this many times. We can do one of two things. We can question the Bible to death, or we can just believe it and accept it and shout on it, praise God. And Genesis records the beginning of everything with the exception of God. Think about this. There's the beginning of the created world in Genesis 1, and then there's the beginning of man and woman. There's the beginning of sin in Genesis 3. And I'm going to say a whole lot more about that, so I'm just going to keep moving right there. There's the beginning of the promise of redemption in Genesis chapter number 3. And again, I'm going to come back to that because there's so much in Genesis chapter number 3. Man, you could preach a lifetime out of Genesis chapter number 3. There's the promise of redemption. There's the beginning of family life. There's the beginning of civilization. There's the beginning of nations. There's the beginning of a chosen people. There's also the beginning of judgment, the beginning of altars, the beginning of death, and several other things here in the book of Genesis. And can I say something right here? And I'll just say it in passing. Whenever I was in Bible college, there was something that was always pointed out as supreme importance in studying the Bible, and it was called the law of first mention. In other words, the very first time that it's mentioned in the Bible. The beginning of altars is in Genesis. It's Genesis chapter number 8 in verse number 20, whenever Noah built an altar to the Lord. And I want to say something to you tonight. You need an altar in your life. Now, I don't want to get bogged down tonight, but you need an altar in your life. You need an altar in your home. Amen. You need a place where you go to and you pray at and you pray with your family at. Man, that's important, and we see the beginning of that. Now, it's interesting, and I like the way the author kind of lays this out. There's two different parts in Genesis. Part covers four major events, which is creation, the fall of man, the flood, and the Babel crisis. And then the second part covers four outstanding persons in the Bible. There's Abraham, the man of faith, Isaac, the beloved son, Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, and Joseph, a life of suffering and glory. Now, one thing that's so interesting, Genesis deals with Abraham. Of course, we're introduced to Abraham in Genesis, but also if you'll go to Galatians chapter number 3, and I don't have time to go there, but in Galatians chapter number 3, verse number 8, there's a very interesting statement. It says, and I'm not quoting it verbatim, but it says that the gospel was preached unto Abraham. The gospel was preached unto Abraham. In other words, Abraham saw the gospel. What is the gospel? It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You say, well, how was the gospel preached to Abraham? Well, the Bible don't make no mistakes. Amen. And if it said the gospel was preached to Abraham, then the gospel was. Now, I'm going to give it to you in a nutshell, and you can see it in the book of Genesis. But if you want to hear the gospel is preached unto Abraham, I want you to go home tonight, and I want you to get on YouTube, and I want you to look up Buster Seaton preaching the gospel is preached unto Abraham. You need to do it at home while you're sitting at home. You don't need to do it driving, and you don't need to do it while you're trying to do anything, because you're going to wreck and you're going to have a fit while you're doing it. It's besides the messages I've heard my dad preach in my life, it's by far the greatest message I've ever heard preached in my life. The gospel was preached to Abraham. You say, how is that? It was preached to him through his son, Isaac, which is a type of Christ. I'll say more about that in just a minute. But we see that all in Isaac. Isaac was Abraham's son. Abraham's a type of God. Isaac is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Abraham took Isaac upon Mount Moriah, and there he died or was going to die that day on Mount Moriah. Now, it's interesting to study the geographical location because everything that I can study, it's the same place as Calvary was at. Whenever you find out, you'll find out that Isaac carried the wood for the sacrifice up on the mountain that day. Guess what Jesus did? He carried the wood for the sacrifice up on the mountain that day. Whenever you study it out, Isaac was going to die on the mountain that day. But it was 3 days prior to Isaac going up on the mountain that God told Abraham to kill Isaac. And in Abraham's mind, 3 days prior to that, let me tell you what happened in Abraham's mind. Isaac died that day in his mind because he was going to do what God told him to do. Amen. He took him upon the mountain that day, but we all know the story. There was a ram caught in the bush. Of course, there wasn't with Jesus, but the gospel was preached unto Abraham. Amen. You can see it all in the book of Genesis. I've got to move or I'll get bound down on that. And boy, what a beautiful type that is right there. Now, let's look at these eight different major things that happens here in the book of Genesis briefly tonight. There's the creation account. There's four events and four people. Let's look at the four events. Number one, there's the creation account, which is in about said verse number 18. It's not verse 18, it's page 18 in your books where I'm at, okay? There's the creation account. I like what the author says. This is not a human theory in this scripture, but a divine testimony. It's not just something. The Bible does not start out this way. Once upon a time in a land far, far away. That's not the way it starts out. It starts out like this: in the beginning, God. And you say, what does that mean? That means in the beginning, God. Amen. And when everything began, God was there beginning everything that began. Amen. In the beginning, God. Except the first sentence in Scripture, and there will be little difficulties in accepting all of God's Word. So the first thing we see is the creation. Then let me show you this. The next big event we see is the fall of man. In chapter 3 and chapter 4, there's the fall of man. I want to look at this a little bit tonight. The fall of man here in Genesis chapter number 3. We know that man was created, and I don't want to get bogged down, but at the same time, I do want to deal with something. Man was created in the image of God. And God breathed in to man the breath of life. And I've said this before, and some they don't agree with me on this, but that's all right. They got the right to be wrong if they want to. But y'all catch that in just a minute. That was the very first blood transfusion in the history of the world. And you say, why? Because the Bible says this, the life is in the blood. And when God breathed into man the breath of life, amen, there was a blood transfusion. Man became a living being at that time. Man was created for one purpose, and that purpose was this, to have fellowship with God. Now, I thought about this many times, and even today I thought about this. Me and old Poe, Poe's more faithful to church than most of our people are. She comes to church just about every day. And for y'all that don't know who Poe is, that's my dog, okay? She comes to church just about every day, especially if it's real cold in the mornings. I'll bring her to church with me. She comes in there and stretches out in my office and prays for me while I'm studying. I was thinking about this day. I was sitting in there studying. Poe was stretched out talking to me, and I was talking to her. We was praying together for the service and some of y'all tonight. I thought about this. You know, God could have chose to communicate with that dog. He could have. He could have chose his way of communication and fellowship with the dog. But God chose mankind. And the reason mankind was created was so that he could fellowship with mankind. God wanted to fellowship with mankind. So when man was created, we find out that man was created in the image of God, and God wanted to fellowship with man. But something happens, and man falls to the temptation of Satan, and that fellowship is broken. Watch this in chapter number 3. Now, go with me, Genesis chapter number 3. I want to show you a couple things about the fall of man that we find in Genesis. There's the tempting in chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Note, Satan casts doubt on the word of God. Look what he says in chapter 3, verse number 1. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said. Can I tell you something? It's still what Satan is doing today. It's causing doubt to fall on the word of God. That's where Satan started at. That's where the fall of man started at. That's where every bit of his temptation started at, was causing man to question the word of God. Now, I want to tell you something today. God's word is forever settled in heaven. Amen. That's what the Bible says. It's forever settled in heaven. Now, I want to say this to you. You know this about me, especially after the meeting we just had. That King James Bible that I hold in my hand tonight is the perfect, preserved, pure Word of God tonight. Amen? And here's what Satan still does today. He tries to get us to doubt the Word of God. Now, know what he says. He says, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. There's the first lie in the Bible. That's not what God said. That's not what God said. Here's what God said, chapter 2, verse 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou shalt eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Nowhere did God say you can't touch it. Are you with me? So, hey, look, just in two verses, he's already got Eve mixed up. Just in two verses, he's already got Eve mixed up. The Bible said in verse number 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. He's casting doubt on the word of God again. God said, ye shall die. Now, I want you to go to verse number 6. The Bible says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So we see the fall of man right here in Genesis, the temptation of it. And really, when you look at that, you can cross-reference that with 1 John 2, where it's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You see it all by Satan right there. She ends up yielding to that, and because of that, now sin has entered into the world. Romans 5:12 says this, for by one man sin entered into the world. Now, I find this interesting, and just think on this. Why didn't it say, for by one woman? It was a woman that done it. Now, y'all, don't y'all look at me like that, women. I'll go Brother Tony for a little while. No, I'm just picking. I remember Dr. Garris used to say this, your looks don't scare me. I've been married to Miss Judy for over 50 years. But it was, Brother Ramsey, it was a woman that messed up in the garden. Now, he did, but notice he says, for by one man. Why? Because man's responsible for his house. Now, I'll show you something else in Genesis. Watch this in chapter number 2. Chapter number 2, Verse number 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Go to verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he woman and brought her unto the man. Chapter 2, verse 17. When God gives that command, the woman's not even been created yet. It was the man's responsibility to lead his house. Boy, now's y'all's time, women, to holler amen, okay? It was his responsibility to lead his household and to train his household the right way. For by one man, sin entered into the world. And now we find the results of that. Because of that, now watch this. Notice now there is a self-conscience in verse 7, shame and fear in verse 10, sorrow in verse 17, a curse in verse 17, thorns in verse 18, number 19. Because of the sin of man, there is the curse that is put upon mankind. But can I show you something? Look in verse number 15. The curse starts in verse 16. That's when he begins to pronounce the curse upon man. Verse 15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That is the first promise of the Redeemer to come, the first direct prophecy that Jesus Christ is coming one day. The heel of Christ on Calvary bruised the head of Amen. Bruised the head of Satan. Let me show you something that will help you. Verse number 6: sin entered into the world. It's the number of man is the number 6. Verse 15 is the promise of a Redeemer to come, and 15 in the Bible is the number of rest. Even though man brought sin into the world and rebellion into the world, Jesus, before he ever cursed mankind, in verse 15, gives a promise of a rest. Gives a promise of a rest that can be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And before he ever cursed mankind, he said, look, I know you've messed up. I know you've done wrong, but I'm going to send somebody one day. Well, amen. Some of y'all not getting any of that. I'm going to send somebody one day that's going to redeem you from this sin-cursed world, that's going to take care of you. And before the curse ever come, thank God, there was a promise of a Redeemer that would come one day. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I just about had a fit today when I looked up at number 15 and saw that it meant rest in the Word of God. It typifies rest. We can have rest from the troubles of this life, and it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now think about this. So the first four events, we see the creation, we see the fall of man. Watch this. Then we see the flood. Of course, there's the fruit of sin. You can see that going through the temptation. Watch this. Number 3, there is the flood in chapter 5 through chapter number 9. Chapter number 5 through chapter number 9. Because of sin that had entered into the world, it repented God that he had made mankind, and God chose to wipe out the world by water. Now, can I say something to you? They all had a chance to be saved from the damnation that was coming and the judgment that was coming from God. Every person, I believe this in all my, every person in the world had a chance to be saved. But they chose to reject the preaching of God's word and to make fun of the man of God. And boy, whenever rain began to fall, they wasn't no making fun of the man of God at that time. They was running to the man of God wanting to get on the boat. Now, I'll just say this to you in passing. When judgment falls, the Lord comes back and the tribulation starts, it'll be too late to get on the boat. Are you with me? It'll be too late to get on the boat at that time. You said, preacher, we're going through the first 3.5. If you go through the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, you're going to go through 7 years and you're going to die and go to hell. Are you hearing me? We getting out of here. You study the book of Revelation. The church is leaving out, praise God. And I think it was Brother Joe said it this way. He said, we're leaving out like Superman and coming back like the Lone Ranger. Amen. And you say, I don't like horses. You better get ready because you're going to ride one when we come back with the Lord. Amen. And I'm looking forward to it. So you see the flood. And then there's the Babel crisis in chapter 10 and chapter number 11. Now, I told you I can't deal with all of this, all right? Let's look at these four main people that we see in the closing of Genesis. Chapter 12 through chapter number 23, we read about Abraham. And boy, oh boy, what a story the story of Abraham is. Amen. There's the promises that is made. Matter of fact, you could say it this way. There's seven different promises made to Abraham. I will make thee a great nation. He did. I will bless thee. He did. I will make thy name great. He did. Thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee. I will curse them that curse thee. And thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, I want to say something about 5 and 6. I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curse thee. And I tell you something tonight, that still stands true today. That's dealing with the nation of Israel. And I'm not going to get political tonight. I'm just going to get factual for just a minute. Donald Trump, I might make enemies and I might make friends, but I'm just going to say it. Donald Trump was a great president. Jimmy, tell you the reason that America done what America did underneath Donald Trump. It wasn't because of just Donald Trump. It was because Donald Trump chose to stand with Israel and was a friend to Israel and loved Israel. Now, you can say amen or oh me if you want to. Look at the... I'm trying not to get political, but look at the condition of our country today and interest rates today and gas prices today. Look at all that today and look what it was 4 years ago. Enough said, case closed. But I'm going to tell you the reason that our country was in the shape that it was in was because we stood with the nation of Israel. And if you messed with Israel, you messed with America. And I'm going to tell you something. If we want God to bless America again, we better get back to backing the nation of Israel. No questions asked. Amen. And that's still true today. Then there's Isaac. Boy, oh boy, what a study in chapter 24 through chapter 26 of the life of Isaac. And man, there's so much that could be said there. Isaac, and I've already said this, Isaac is a beautiful picture and a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. And one of my favorites to study. Then we have in chapter 27 through chapter 36, a man by the name of Jacob. A man by the name of Jacob. And again, what a great study on the life of Jacob. It's from the life of Jacob that the 12 tribes of Israel comes. It comes from the 12 sons of Jacob. It's from the line of Jacob through Judah that the Lord Jesus Christ would come. These are the heads of the 12 tribes of Israel that we'll find in studying the Word of God. You also find something else very interesting about Jacob in chapter number 32, verse number 28. Jacob's name is changed. It's changed from Jacob to Israel. And what caused that name change was an all-night wrestling match with the Lord. And you know what? You'll find out that Jacob's life was never the same after that. Matter of fact, Jacob probably never even walked the same after that. And could you imagine being down at the barber shop and Jacob come limping in and somebody said, hey man, where'd that limp come from? You that knows your Bible, just let your mind run back to what Jacob could have told him about that night he wrestled with the Lord and the Lord touched him that night. Then in closing tonight, chapter 37 through 50 deals with the life of Joseph. The life of Joseph. Joseph is so interesting. Joseph probably, and even the writer of the book says this, Joseph probably is the most complete picture or the most complete type of Christ in the Old Testament that we find. Pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, he was not the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There wasn't but one. But in pointing to him, he is probably the greatest type. Think about this with me. Both were beloved by their fathers. Both were shepherds. Both were severely tempted, whenever you study it out. And I made mention of this 2 weeks ago, preaching on temptation. Boy, Joseph run from that. When that temptation come his way, he run from it. And boy, we can learn that from Joseph tonight. When temptation comes, to run from it. Both were taken to Egypt. Both were sold for the price of a slave. What about that? Both of them were sold for the price of a slave. And whenever you study it out, if I'm not mistaken, I'm almost positive on this, Joseph was 20 pieces of silver is what he was sold for. The Lord Jesus Christ was sold for 30 pieces of silver. Whenever you study that out, here's something very interesting. Whenever you study that out, that was the price of a female slave in Jesus' day. You say, well, why was he sold for the price of a female slave? Here's the reason why. We was who he was buying. The bride of Christ, the church, amen, is who he was buying. Both were sold for the price of a slave. Both were highly exalted after suffering. Amen. Both were highly exalted after suffering. Matter of fact, if you want to see a great Old Testament picture of the judgment seat of Christ, you study the life of Joseph when his brothers come back before him and they stand before him that day. I was studying through that again as I was studying this and reading back through that again. And I preached on that years and years ago. I can't even find the message that I preached on it. But I'm going to probably go back and, boy, what a picture of that judgment seat whenever those brothers come in and stood before Joseph that day. You know what Joseph could have done that day as we close tonight? Joseph could have had his brothers killed that day. But you know what Joseph did? Joseph loved them that day and showed them mercy that day and showed compassion to them that day, even though they had done him wrong. You know, I say something to you tonight. When we think about the Lord Jesus Christ, Genesis is laying the groundwork for what's going to happen. When we think about the Lord Jesus Christ, the day that we stand before Him, if Jesus done what He should do, if Jesus done what He should do, He would condemn every one of us to hell. He'd thump every one of us off in hell, and He would be justified in doing that. Oh, but Jesus don't do that. Amen. If we're saved by the grace of God, we'll stand before God pure and clean through the blood of Jesus one day. Amen. So as we look in Genesis, man, it's the beginning. It's what's laying the groundwork for what's to come. And I want to say to you tonight, boy, what a great type of the Lord Jesus Christ that we can see even right here, man, as we're starting right here, just right into it in chapter number 3, even though sin enters in, thank God there's a Redeemer that's on the way. Amen. I thought about this. Boy, you could go back and you can look at the judgment of Adam and Eve. Or not Adam and Eve. Well, Adam and Eve, because of their sin. But you can look at the judgment in that flood. There was a preacher of righteousness. But you can go all the way back to Genesis chapter number 2, whenever they sin. Chapter number 3, whenever they sin. And whenever they sin, they try to sew fig leaves together to cover themselves up. Matter of fact, chapter 3, verse number 9, "And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou?" And you've heard me say this so many times. It wasn't that God didn't know where Adam was at. God wanted Adam to realize where Adam was at. God wanted Adam to realize that he had made a mess and that he had messed up. And they had tried to take their works. Are you with me? They tried to sew those fig leaves together and make aprons and make them good enough in the eyes of God. But they wasn't. And can I say something to you tonight? Our works will never be good enough in the eyes of God. We know that we're sinners. We know that we've done wrong. And our good works will never be good enough. But what did God do that day? God killed an animal that day. There was bloodshed. And you say, well, how do you know there was bloodshed? You ever skin an animal without blood being shed? It's not going to happen. You ever skin an animal alive? It's not going to happen. There was an animal that died that day for the sin of mankind. And from that animal, thank God, there was coats of skin made that day. And what man could not do for themselves, God done for them that day. Now here's what I want you to see. That day, Miss Courtney, you care to start playing something softly. That day when blood was shed, those coats of skin was made that day, there was enough covering for the whole world. Do you hear what I just said? There was enough covering for the whole world. You say, how do you get that? There wasn't but two, but that was the population of the world that day. And God started right there saying, hey, for the population of the world, there's a blood covenant. Amen. There's a sacrifice going to be made. Oh, yes. Look, your self-righteousness will never get you there. I believe in doing good. Somebody say amen. I believe in walking right. I believe in talking right. I believe in having the right testimony. I believe in dressing right. You can holler amen to every bit of that. But all of that will never get us to heaven. Amen. Our works is as filthy rags. It'll never get us there. But right here in the book of Genesis, just right out of the gate, we're seeing God's provided a lamb. Amen. God's providing a sacrifice. A man named Jesus is going to come on the scene one day, and his blood, thank God, will run from Calvary's hill throughout all the world, and there'll be enough. There'll be enough. Did you hear what I said? There'll be enough for the whole world. Matter of fact, when you go to Exodus, I got a hush, but when you go to Exodus, and that death angel's passing by in Exodus, and he said this, he said, choose your lamb out and kill that lamb. And here's what he said. He said, if the household be too little for the lamb, then take another household. You go study the book of Exodus. Nowhere did he say, if the lamb be too little for the household. Amen. Let me tell you the reason why. The lamb has never been too little for the household, thank God. The blood sacrifice was made for the world right there. And then in chapter 3, verse 15, he said, there's a man named Jesus coming. And thank God, when he gets here, he'll bruise the head of Satan. And he did on Calvary that day. Amen. He did on Calvary that day. Thank God for the Bible tonight. Amen. Thank God for the Word. I'm glad that, hey, I'm going to tell you, if you don't get nothing else tonight, if you don't get nothing else, verse number 15 of chapter number 3, before God ever put the curse on mankind, you want to talk about grace? You want to talk about grace? Before he ever put the curse on mankind, he gave the cure for the sin they had committed. Son, that's grace tonight. That may not help you, but thank God. Oh, yes. When I was dead in trespassings of sin, he was looking on me, and he gave me a cure for the sin that was in my life. And it was all through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand tonight. Father.